Good evening and welcome, each of you. It is a blessing to see, even for a moment, all of your faces on the screen this evening. Your presences are a real blessing for all of us. So as we light the Christ candle, it is a symbol, a reminder that the light is always within. It's always shining, even in the apparent darkness. A light to behold, to enliven, to transmit, to heal. And we begin our time with the prayer, glory be to God transcendent, and to God omnipresent, to God immanent, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. These past few weeks, we've been journeying and receiving and evoking memories, perhaps old wounds, sources that still need and yet to be healed, that are in a process that's evolving towards wholeness, an evolutionary process that we're invited to engage in. At the same time, we're moving through the season of Lent, moving ever closer to Holy Week. So considering our aim and our topics and the world in general, and all of the commemorations and experiences of Holy Week, for our time of sharing, I'd like to turn to the words of Burl Poxon, who was Maurice Nichols' respected secretary and an eminent work teacher for many years after his death. She says, "Our feeling of I is the most precious thing we have. And yet we allow any small I to take this feeling. Try to discover where your feeling of I is during the day, this moment. The meaning of religious festivals is to help you put your feeling of I into bigger things. It is merciful that these times of Easter and Christmas exist, because we may for a time become more conscious of our levels. Our feeling of I may be drawn into inner things, finer things. What is meant by a new birth of essence? It is a new birth from essence. It is possible to have many small births before the real birth takes place, before Christ is born within us. Just as it is possible to have many small deaths. In fact, this is how the work proceeds. This is very connected with Easter. Easter is about new possibilities." So we're preparing for these new possibilities. And perhaps we can summarize the whole of the work by saying that this new birth from essence to real I, that is the aim of our work. So it is by passing through many deaths and the body, mind, personality that unfolds into a lifetime evolving process. And may it ever be so for us. Amen. Aware now that our prosana, if you will, being bodies encompass dimensions both visible and invisible, the heights and the depths, the widths and the lengths. We prepare ourselves to be fully present to where we are now. Each of us is here in this particular place for his or her particular reason. What each of us brings matters. How we come matters. How we participate matters. For this is what we are emanating into the group, and the group is emanating out into the world. This is a privileged position that we have others who are interested in this work. It is our gift to the world. It is keeping vigil and transmitting what all we hope for out for the blessing of everyone. So we honorably place ourselves, center ourselves once again in a place of trust and receptivity to the influences that are available to us from the conscious circle of humanity and all conscious beings who are somewhere on our wondrous planet with us in their own intention and prayer. With back upright, still, and contained, letting go of all tension and constriction, present, we breathe. We become aware of our breath and breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything, everything that passed through us this day, everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than. Everything, everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy and hope, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering, reconciled, as food for being, as food for essence. We lift it, ask that it all be transubstantiated in our being, as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over the complexities of the day, knowing that they are influences for my work. I hand over the plans for tomorrow, knowing they will be addressed. I hand over the anxieties and small fears of my heart, knowing that they are known by the one who accompanies me. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. We now enter into the prayer and the state, if you will, of Lectio Divina. And our reading will be shared 3 times with a silent pause in between each reading. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot resist it. Trauma and all its tentacles that stretch into the weave of our life history most likely contribute to the formation of strong buffers. So much so that we go years, decades, or even our entire life in relationship with ourself, others, society, everything, through well-formed buffers instead of essence. May our work support our arising, healing, and freedom from everything that constricts or numbs us from the full, joyful freedom of living in the light of God's love, as sons and daughters of love, who know and feel everything, unhindered from past shadow or future fear. Until then, may we each walk together in this school of wisdom unfolding, gently, humbly, tenderly, awake to the precious gift of discovering our buried pains and our arising joys. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot resist it. Trauma and all its tentacles that stretch out into the weave of our life history most likely contribute to the formation of strong buffers, so much so that we go years, decades, or even our entire life in relationship with ourself, others, society, everything, through well-formed buffers instead of essence. May our work support our arising, healing, and freedom from everything that constricts or numbs us from the full, joyful freedom of living in the light of God's love, as sons and daughters of love, who know and feel everything, unhindered from past shadow or future fear. Until then, may we each walk together in this school of wisdom unfolding, gently, humbly, tenderly, awake to the precious gift of discovering our buried pains and our arising joys. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot resist it. Trauma and all its tentacles that stretch out into the weave of our life story most likely contribute to the formation of strong buffers, So much so that we go years, decades, or even our entire life in relationship with ourselves, others, society, everything, through well-formed buffers instead of essence. May our work support our arising healing and freedom from everything that constricts or numbs us from the full, joyful freedom of living in the light of God's love as sons and daughters of love, who know and feel everything, unhindered from past shadow or future fear. Until then, may we each walk together in this school of wisdom unfolding, gently, humbly, tenderly, awake to the precious gift of discovering our buried pains and our arising joys. So may it be so. We will stop our sharing of the screen at this point and invite anyone to share what you receive from this reading and perhaps gazing upon the image, how it informed you, what you were given. And this will be a blessing for all of us. And I welcome you, Gay. Thank you.
Good evening. The image struck me, and also the scripture, which I had always heard as the darkness could not overcome it.
Yes.
I love this version where the darkness cannot resist the light. It speaks to the power of the light rather than the power of the darkness.
Yes.
So the first screen that we were watching before 7 talked about understanding being a result of knowledge plus experience. So I see if the darkness is the buffers in my life, then my work, my understanding, the buffers cannot possibly resist that light. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you, Gay. Thank you. Elena, please. You'll have to unmute.
It's the word buffer. Hear it in this way, and it's really like so profound and so scary, because it's like first it's like. Like doing, like not hearing anything and creating all those layers that we have been creating since whatever time. And it's really very profound, and also like very profound how we can work to take away those buffers.
Yes.
But it's really, for me, it's a very interesting and profound word.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Elena. Thank you. Karen, please, welcome.
Hi. I am very new to the work, and I have been a spiritual seeker for many years. And I just wanted to say it's a whole new language. It's like learning a new language.
Yes.
But it's there's so many threads of continuity. And so I do long for living in the light of God's goodness and feeling the joy.
Yes. Thank you, Karen. Yes, may it be so. Don, welcome.
Hi, Marianne and everyone. The image, as well as the text about the light, really reinforced again to me, reminded me that we do not do the work, that we don't, we have, I say I'm going to do this or I did this, but the power, the light of consciousness is what actually heals us. And that's definitely what we've been working on the last couple of weeks. The traumas, the memories, and the buffers, when they come down, sometimes are so powerful. And the experience so far for me, the power, when a buffer comes down, is not just what is seen, which is really amazing, but the amount of force that's released once I'm no longer keeping that buffer up. And without the light, there's no hope. There's no way to go forward. And there's no way to understand.
Yes.
It was what I got.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Yes, we can't resist the light. Thank you. Catherine.
Hi there. What spoke to me was fully knowing and feeling everything. And by putting that in the light, and the invitation to do it as sons and daughters, you know, of Christ, just feels like a safe invitation, that you know, unhindered by past and future, in that setting where we're invited to explore those dark sides of ourselves or joyful sides of ourselves. It just feels like a safe invitation.
Amen, it does. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. We have time for another, if you care to step forth. Bonnie, yes, welcome.
Good evening, Maria. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank
you. Okay. I'm going to hear headphones. The image strikes me about being able to weather the whatever buffers are there, to face them, knowing that the light is in us and the light will help us through. It is safety. It is love. And somewhere in the darkness is light. The light in the dark is all God. And there, I used to be very scared of going in the basement where it was dark. And now it's warm and comforting, knowing that God is there in whatever buffers and whatever things we face, God is there. And
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. Yes, thank you, Don and Bonnie, both for the reminder of the safety of it all, the trust of it all. And thank you for everyone who shared and all of us who are participating as the silent movement is occurring in our hearts. And as we move to the next section of our evening, I'm very pleased to welcome Christine again, and she is going to lead us from this place of openness and receptivity and quiet that is evoked through Lectio Divina into another prayer. We've been looking into our memories, our traumas, perhaps seeing our buffers or knowing that they exist. And perhaps there's another step now that we can begin in this unfolding process, and that is the process of forgiveness. So we're going to step into the next section of this evening with another prayer that is also a practice and a state of being ultimately. So welcome again, Christine, to our community. It is a great blessing to have you with us.
Thank you. So we'll begin tonight with the prayer of forgiveness. And I would like you to just take a few moments, a few breaths in silence. Again, assuming a dignified posture. Connecting your breath. Your inhales and your exhales. To your heart. And if it's comfortable, gently close your eyes or gaze slightly in front of you, grounding and centering yourself in your body. Scanning your body with your inner eye. And relaxing each part of your body with each and every breath. Resting in the area of your chest near your heart. Breathe. Maybe even imagine this sanctuary for the divine indwelling. Focusing on your heart and allowing your heart to open. Breathing in the light of the Spirit into your heart. Allowing the light to transform and open your heart as you continue to relax into your body. Gently allowing the Spirit to lead you through a passageway that's filled with light, warmth, and a welcoming presence. Inviting the Holy Spirit to bring forth a person, living or dead, who you would like to forgive. Maybe it's yourself, another version of yourself. Also inviting the Holy Spirit to support you as you call to mind this person that you wish to forgive. Remain open to whoever appears in your sacred space, greeting them by name. share your experience of being in relationship with this person. Share how you've been offended and hurt and traumatized. Being specific. Allow yourself to share this pain with the person, remaining open and aware of the warmth and the radiance of the light in the process. As you are ready, tell the person that you forgive them, ever so gently saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Repeat, I forgive you, as many times as is needed. Until you're ready to continue the process. And now, in the warmth and the radiance of the light, with an open heart, ask the person how you have offended and hurt and traumatized them. Wait and listen. Remaining open to the process. As you are ready, gently say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, as many times as is needed, until you feel complete in the process, for now. Observe your thoughts, your feelings, and emotions. Being present to them with an open heart. Now allow the person to leave the sacred space that is safe and filled with light and warmth, inviting them to return at a later time if needed. Rest in the radiance of the light. Rest in the spirit. And in the silence. Gently move out of the sacred space, through the passageway, centered and grounded in your body, in your heart. And gently open your eyes when you are ready. Forgiveness is 70 times 7. So as you're ready, I'd like to invite you to share experiences from the forgiveness prayer, are the information of the past few weeks. For the blessing and growth of us all. Jeannie?
I've been simultaneously working with Elizabeth, with Byron Katie, the inquiry. And tonight I visualized myself, encountering myself. And then I realized at a younger age that I really needed to address my dad. And so I brought him in and I realized that the buffer that I've created has been making my dad accountable for things he said to me. And I realized that I had internalized them. I'd taken them on. They were my words that I was saying to myself. And so now I'm able to forgive him. He was just being himself as a father and correcting me, and I then it allowed me not to take responsibility when I could blame him. And I'm realizing, oh, okay, so this, now that this has come to the light, I realized, well, I don't have to believe those words anymore. And it did, they just kind of like evaporated or dematerialized. So that's been a real, I guess the light has come, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Max, can you unmute for us, please? Lovely, thank you.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that in the past week, I've had the opportunity to reflect and go inside to look at some past traumas and the lessons and the book, Heart of Trauma, have deepened my appreciation of the need of patience with myself. Secondly, actively listening, particularly the prayer we just did was very powerful in terms of bringing that up again. And then the physical touching of the area in the body that had embodied sensations of the trauma, memories of the trauma, was very helpful too. And it wasn't like grasping it, but it was a very, I noticed that it was the gentleness of the touch, the warmth of the touch made a big difference.
And do you mind if I ask how you were able to transition into that type of gentleness? No, we lost your voice.
How about now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. To me, it was the author of the Heart of Trauma who really took you through it from an experiential standpoint and from an engaging standpoint. That's how I read it. And just the way you broke down the prayer tonight reinforced those three elements that I just shared. So for me, it was patience, surrendering, I guess it's another term that comes up. And then the touching of the physical body where the sensations were experiencing in a way that was loving and comforting, rather than a massage or something of the area.
And a lot of the neuroscience research talks about that dissociation, that we correlate dissociation with kind of checking out mentally, but parts of our body that have been traumatized can check out as well. And that's where the supportive touch allows us to connect with those body parts in a different type of way and create a transformation.
Thank you.
So giving yourself a hug is a great thing. Jeff?
Hi, Christine. Good evening.
Hi.
That was an extremely powerful prayer for me. I never heard of that one. So I entered into the golden tunnel. It's more a place of the biblical milk and honey. And there was this room that was just radiating golden light. And I entered into it. And a moment, just a split second before you said, picture the person, my mother appeared. I thought, of course. And I forgave her for not protecting me. I forgave her for all the times that she castigated me. She was unmoved, just stood there. And I said, forgive yourself as Christ has forgiven you. And at that moment, she just completely broke down and just wept. And then I started weeping and we embraced. And it was extremely cleansing. Very powerful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, as you're learning, it's a process, it's a journey. But when the light is present, especially in our hearts, that's when transformation maybe is more possible. So I appreciate your sharing your story and the deep connection that you had. Thank you. And feel free to share anything from the last few weeks, what it was like to release your burdens or think of yourself as being stuck in quicksand, what it's been like to try to use some of the Thrive processes that we talked about the first couple of weeks, and if that has helped just with that open heart. Karen?
Thank you, Christine, and hello, everyone. I'll share a bit on what I experienced on work with about my mother. And as I grew up in a household that, you know, it was my job to make the family look good. I didn't get the attention that I wanted. I desperately wanted, and which caused many of my buffers to be made. And in the work of last week, I took an incident where the external situation, and I had fallen into water and I'd gotten myself wet, and then my interior sense was I was very frightened. And I was frightened, one, first about my mother, who would find me wet and she would be mad. She would be very angry. And so then I took it to the next, you know, what was the next picture? Well, the next picture was she found me and she was furious. She was very angry. And and then she told me later that she whipped me all the way home, but I don't remember that part at all. I just remember the fear and the having wet clothes. And then one of my many covers is to be, you know, a be afraid, I've done it wrong again, you know, can't do it right, all those things. And so then I took it back one more step and I thought, what if I had been, I externally considered my mother. What if I had been in her shoes? And what if I had come across my child that was got too close to the water, got wet? Well, I would immediately also be in fear, you know, what could have happened? And then her fear, I think, also transferred onto to me,
right,
of the depth of the fear of that situation. Because beforehand, I was having a good time. I was on an adventure, you know. But it's that, and it, you know, and then I go back and look at, well, what are these, I call them like veils or, you know, parts of the story. They're different colors. And that I have to figure it out. I have to figure it out. And there were some other things you mentioned last week in that email about where does trauma come from? And it's about betrayal. It's about, you know, taking on other people's fears as if they were mine, so I could fix it and make everything okay. And then the last thing I looked at after going through the whole story was, oh, you know what? That was not I. That was not my, what I have believed about myself because of those veils. As I heard Jeff say, they just kind of went away. And I didn't have this heaviness in my chest and around my heart. And I could only experience it as a, you know, I knew it was more ephemeral than anything, that I did not have to put that on anymore. I did not have to put that on anymore. And I've had a wonderful several days since then. And I'm very happy. I think I might even have some joy.
Woohoo! That's so wonderful. Thank you.
It is. It's very wonderful.
And I think it's, you know, that relationship piece. So I'm, you know, my mother was from Ireland. I really love the Celtic knot, you know, so when we're in relationship, it's three. So even with yourself, it's yourself at that point in your life that you were in. It's yourself where you are now, which is completely different. And the relationship between the two. Mm-hmm. And that's where that essence can really move into that connecting the parts of yourself and that timeline in a different way. What we know from neuroscience as well is that how the information gets filed in your brain isn't in a timeline. It's not in chronological order. And like you said, you lose parts of it because you were even probably dissociated at the moment that she was taking you home. And so it's like there are pieces of the puzzle is missing, and we spend so much futile energy trying to figure that out instead of just working with that essence and going to our heart to look at that relationship. So I appreciate you sharing that story.
Thank you.
Susan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just a question for you is I'm wondering if you feel like forgiveness can sometimes be used as a buffer.
Forgiveness is 70 times seven. And so the beauty, I think, of this prayer is that you're not only looking at the offender, you're looking at the offendee, and you're creating a relationship and exchange. And I think a lot of times in forgiveness and reconciliation, there can be parts of that that are missing. And that may make the act of forgiveness or the process seem less than genuine. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I've just gone through phases of my life where I've certainly gravitated toward forgiveness as a way of, I think, not really seeing the traumatic experience very clearly, and really out of a real need to be a peacemaker and a real need to kind of not feel the depth of pain that's truly there. And so I've been through many cycles of both, I just wanted to hear your reflections on that. So thank you.
Again, I guess it's looking at the motivation, like you just said, for forgiveness. You know, is the motivation to continue that pattern that, you know, I'm the fixer, I'm the one that covers things up or has to make everything okay, I'm the peacemaker. And motivations are everything. And processing that piece may help you. And then I really do believe that if we are acting from our heart, with genuine care and love and appreciation for ourselves, that we can access the intuitive part of our brain that guides us in the right direction.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Arthur.
Thank you for the opportunity to do some work on You're buffers. Welcome. I have had some observations of myself as a child, making these deals with myself. Different eyes, different parts of centers, communicating with each other, telling each other that they don't ever want to be this happy or this vulnerable or this joyful again, because when I, as a child, was exuberant, my parents, my father, didn't respond well sometimes. So through the work, I've been able to observe that different parts of centers, in order to protect themselves, made deals with other parts of centers to never be that happy, that joyful, that vulnerable again, so that they could protect the rest of us, the rest of me. I can see that easily in the movie, in the intellectual center, because it's a thought that says, I can protect myself and I'm a big boy. But in the emotional center, I observe that underneath the emotional damage and pain was this fear of being vulnerable. And it really stuck around for decades. And it's ruined many of my relationships. But lately, now that I've been working more with sensation, I was able to remember much more vividly. I wrote it down. I was able to observe the emotional damage that I thought would be permanent as a child. The pain, the fear, the rejection, the trauma. And through the work sense, I know that all these buffers I built, some of them consciously, others not, they were there to protect me from myself and from my life, from my outer environment. But at the same time, there's costs, because that outer protection has its inner costs. I shut down parts of myself to myself in order to not be that vulnerable again. And with decades of being in the work and my wish to have a stronger relationship, a more loving relationship, a more trusting relationship with my higher power, I've been able to experience some of those moments where I was making those bad deals, building those buffers, and believing the lies that I told myself as a child. The idea of being able to trust my higher power. 20 years ago was new to me, because I always thought my higher power was going to be this 280-pound, 6'4" violent man, my father. So it's it was very useful for Tim, one of my old teachers, to help me see that I needed to be able to trust a higher power to do any real work on myself. And that idea I wish to share with all of you. There is nothing that we're going to go through or have gone through that isn't perfect for our growth and our greater healing. And there's nothing we go through that we do alone in the dark. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. And I think, you know, the beauty of this processing that we do in the contemplative practices is that we are able to make that connection to the higher power, but understanding that we have that divine indwelling inside of us, and connecting inward and touching those places that we've been hiding from, and connecting in a gentle, it's like embracing the monster in a gentle, loving way, rewires us so that we can be transformed. And we're socially conditioned to do the complete opposite. We're socially conditioned to dissociate and stay dissociated as much as you can by any means possible, you know, whether it's any kind of substance or, you know, all of that stuff is socially acceptable and great until you cross some kind of imaginary line where you've gone too far. No one tells you in society, until you find out the hard way, sometimes that you've gone too far. So the blame, shame, guilt that we take on is monumental, because we don't understand, especially as a child. We haven't integrated back to our divine indwelling and we don't understand the process. So one of the things I wanted to share with you tonight is an ancient Hawaiian process of, it's called Ho'oponopono. So I'm going to open my slides, hopefully. And so you've learned how to rewire your fight or flight nervous system. What I encourage is that you set up practices or techniques that you're using all day long. So you can give yourself a hug. Nobody knows what you're doing. When you start to feel that dis-ease or this discomfort, or you notice that you're breathing funny, tell yourself a joke, smile, yawn, sing yourself a song. Go to your happy place. All of these are going to get you in touch with your heart and your divine essence, your divine indwelling. And then what the ancient Hawaiian tradition talks about is just using four phrases, and it's called Ho'oponopono. And you say to yourself, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And that forgive me is that you at that stage in life were not aware of your essence, your divine indwelling, and you were developing buffers and barriers and dissociating and doing the things that you were doing as a basic instinct and survival. And then the next two phrases are thank you to your divine indwelling. I love you. So you say these phrases to yourself, your divine indwelling, to communicate the concept of reconciliation. Most of us need to reconcile with ourselves. And it's a mantra of self-love that brings balance and self-esteem. So saying it, you know, when you're driving in the car, when somebody cuts you off, when you're watching the news, when you're, you know, so it can be for those who've offended you, but also for the notions that you carry about yourself. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you. I love you. So these are the words. And then this is an extension of a prayer that I'd like to read to you. Divine Creator, Father, Mother, Son as one, if I, my family, relatives, and ancestors have offended you, your family, relatives, and ancestors, in thoughts, words, and deeds, and action, from the beginning of our creation to the present, we ask your forgiveness. Let this cleanse, purify, release, and cut all negative memories, blocks, energies, and vibrations, and transmute these unwanted energies into pure light. And it is done. So this is a cleansing and a releasing and a purification process. So I'll just read this to you. So part of the reason that the Hawaiians use this, it requires you to acknowledge that wrong was done by saying, I'm sorry. And acknowledging this feeling is a universal need. So we acknowledge that wrongdoing exists, which is a way to acknowledge these feelings. And only then will it be possible to find in our hearts the ability to forgive someone else or yourself. And in the final step, you acknowledge, both for yourself and others, I love you. So we attempt to forgive either ourselves or others and make the mistake of thinking that forgiveness is absolution or erasing the wrongdoing. And if we make that mistake, it is ultimately futile, because that ignores the hurt feelings. And that's why they bubble back when they're not addressed. So this is one of the most simple concepts that I've heard. And it goes back to just connecting with your heart. You're not analyzing the trauma. You're not describing the trauma. You acknowledge the feeling of being hurt. Acknowledge the wrongdoing by saying, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And, you know, I just had a patient today who was in tears that she's been working so hard at this whole forgiveness process, but she's still in chronic pain and she feels that it's futile and hopeless. And that's the beauty of the stories that you're sharing tonight and the beauty of the process. It's a journey. So does anyone have anything else that you would like to discuss or talk about, or maybe ways you've implemented this into a daily practice to try to limit that cortisol dumping that we get when we move from that thrive state of parasympathetic rest and repair to that threat state of fight, flight, freeze. And you can think of freeze as dissociation. Chris?
Hey, Gusine.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Good. Thanks so much for all the wisdom.
Thank you for hearing.
Yeah, of course. I guess I had a question. I was reading this book by Michael Brown, I think it's The Presence Process. And he talks about, I think he says that most of the trauma that we get is actually, you know, from, you know, early childhood, you know, from kind of 0 to 6 years old. So like most of it, you actually don't remember it, kind of thing. So I guess in your opinion, does it make a difference whether you remember it or not, or do you have like a different approach for working with trauma that you can't really identify?
So you mean you're trying to release something that you're not sure of?
Yeah. I was kind of curious about like whether it really kind of makes a difference to identify, or it really doesn't make a difference. It's more of kind of working with the body on a somatic, you know, level. He talks in the book that he has kind of these daily meditations that you do. It's kind of like connecting your breath. You do it like twice a day and like slowly start, you know, like cultivating this presence awareness that he talks about. And as you do that, you know, like slowly just kind of these, you know, felt sensations from traumas that you cultivated, just like start coming out, like, you know, you might just, you know, think about, oh, this is created by this situation kind of thing in your present moment, but it's really like trauma from early on, you know, and you're just kind of justifying the current experience.
And in Thomas Keating's, you know, in his education, it's the same thing. And that's really what your energy centers are. So if you think that you're in a hypnotic trance, basically, until you're age 7 and a different part of your brain starts to develop, you're absorbing what's going on in your environment, but you're unconscious of that absorption. And that's how we have that energy center. First, we need security, and then we need that notion of control, that we're separate from our family, and we start to develop an identity, and then we're approval seeking. And so a lot of those buffers are developed at that time when we're going through those developmental stages, and we all go through that, and we all look for, as Keating would say, happiness in the wrong places in those energy centers. And then that develops our personality as we go through life. So if you may be an approval seeker, you have to do what, you know, what everybody wants, or fit in with the group, or if it's a control thing, you're a perfectionist and everything has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then you're unhappy. So you're manipulating your environment because of your energy centers. But we have all three, and we all have all three. And then those are really your root chakras. And then you get to your heart chakra and your throat chakra and, you know, your third eye and all of the, so we're layered in a certain way, and we're all layered that way. And so that's why that notion of human condition, this is the human condition. We are neurologically designed to survive, but our brain body takes it so seriously that it evolves into our buffers and our personality. And then it creates these patterns of suffering through our lifetime, unless we learn strategies like you are learning to be able to connect to our essence in that spiritual journey or transformation. So I encourage, try not to delve into the past and try not to relive the stories. They say that, so what fires together wires together. And the more you play that movie over and over again, that's wiring that trauma situation, the tougher it is to change. And that's why you want to, when you notice the movie's playing, change the channel to a place you love being, to someone you care about, to a pet, to anything, so that that wiring isn't hardwired. And in centering prayer and all of these practices, we talk about emotional evacuation, where you're actually releasing all of these with the practices. And that's what the body work does. That's what the breath work does. Everything that we've talked about is allowing a release of those energies and transformation.
Thank you.
At least that's what I believe. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Dennis?
Hi, Christine.
Hello.
I've been thinking about through this whole evening about some things that relate to buffers and trauma. And I was thinking about 15 years ago or so, I was in a difficult place and was talking to somebody about that. And through that process, I realized that my buffers were when this person asked me, what is it I want to do for the rest of my life? And I had realized that I had probably lived more than half my life. And I was astounded because, I didn't know what I wanted to do because I'd grown up in a very strict family, and my buffers were preventing myself from running into my parents because they were very strict, and things could get very ugly very quickly if things went off track. So I was very constricted in how I behaved and thought and whatnot. And I'm a one on the Enneagram, and so we're about perfection and stuff like things that you had talked about. But in walking through this process, this person was asking me different things that come up during our discussion. And through that, I realized that what I really wanted in my life was to live more fully, joyfully, and expansively. And we kind of pieced together some things about how I could go about doing that. But one of the things that I was a stepdad and helped raise a couple of teenagers. And over the years, then they became parents and I became a grandfather. And there was nothing like that opened my heart more than being around grandkids. And so I still struggle with my buffers, but I feel like I'm on the path to begin to live more expansively and joyfully and be more who it is I want to be rather than be so constricted so that, so I wouldn't run into, crossing people or something like that. And so I really feel like that you mentioned your patient that you had talked about and that there is a way out. And I think we're finding that way through various ways. And so right now I'm glad to be in this community of people who are trying to find ways to let go of things in the past and live expansively in the future. So thank you for your work in this area.
And thank you. And I think you bring up another very important point about connection. And so that's one of the desires of our heart is to be truly connected. And the research shows it predicts health better than anything else. And so a child, a grandchild, can do that to you. They can just, you don't have to manage them and control them. And you can just enjoy them and be in the present with them. And it's a huge gift to have that ability to connect and to find that part of yourself in that relationship. And so it goes back again to relationship with yourself, relationship to others, relationship with animals, relationship with nature, whatever avenue works for you to loosen the constriction and feel a little freedom moves you in the right direction as well. So thank you for sharing that. Is anybody doing specific practices? I know you already have so many with your body work and yoga and breath work. Has anybody incorporated any of the things that we've learned kind of in your daily processes? And maybe if you'd want to share about that. Gay?
Thank you, Christine, for that earlier exercise. Very powerful for me. Yes, I've been revisiting a couple of exercises that we used to do a long time ago, and that is the vocalizing the chakras. And I've been doing it every morning, and I've been doing it aloud, you know, with my voice. And I've been doing it intentionally at a pretty high volume and with a very open throat so that I can feel the vibrations in my body. I have just really found it to be so, well, enervating for one thing. I mean, it just makes me feel so alive. I do it before my morning sit. So the sound, the vibration that I can feel in my body, has, I think that's been really the key here. Then I've been doing another thing too, just for Lent, and that's been, I've been saying the rosary every day. And this too, I'm saying out loud, so that that vibration becomes just a kind of a hum, actually, in my body. So those are two things I've been doing.
So you're activating the parasympathetic thrive state with that vocalization. They're actually doing research on chanting and those types of things to show that that brings your heart into coherence. And then the energy that you move in your body changes and opens those chakras. So that's beautiful. Thank you. Our voice is very powerful. Catherine?
I've been using the hand on my heart in the middle of the night when my heart gets intense. And it really calms me down and a lot of times will put me back to sleep. And then also making myself laugh, making jokes. I don't know if these jokes, though, I've been kind of seeing they're a little incriminating about myself, but sometimes it makes me really laugh really hard. But I was noticing today that maybe that joke isn't being so nice to me, but it is making me laugh.
Awesome. Yeah. And so again, activating that moves you into the DHEA hormone and the oxytocin hormone, and you can't produce cortisol when you're producing those. So you're actually giving your whole system a break. And the more you do it throughout the day, whatever of those practices you choose to do, singing, anything, it's going to change your physiology. So thank you for sharing.
So Christine, we have time for one more, perhaps.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kim?
I need to start my video. Hi.
Hi.
I was already using tapping in my life. I'm a tapping practitioner. And for a Lenten practice, I took on a forgiveness practice with someone who I just was holding on to some resentment with. And so when I walk the dog, I tap my collarbone points and say a prayer. When I'm in the car, I tap my fingers and say a prayer. Or I use havening, which is another psychosensory modality. And I do a lot of that heart holding. And I've been incorporating more from these teachings using the psychosensory modalities I already knew with prayer. And that's been really lovely. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. And consider the Ho'oponopono, verbalizing, as Gay was saying those out loud. Say them out loud when you're taking a shower, because the vocalization is another way to really connect to the parasympathetic thrive nervous system and to bring us into a healthier physiological state. So I appreciate your diligence and being here with me for the last 3 weeks. And I hope we can continue to grow together. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. It's been a great blessing for us. You are a symbol of hope to me. The fact that you are a scientist, a medical practitioner, a person that is so committed to the spiritual journey, all in one package. You give us knowledge and being at the same time. And what if the world were filled with doctors like yourself? What a wonderful place. But in the meantime, we are very blessed to have had you with us these past weeks. And we will take all that you have given us and hopefully go forth and embody it for the good of the world. And so I'm very, very grateful. So let us close our time in gratitude and prayer and affirm for one another that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.